A man finishes college, looking expectantly to his future. He has a great job that fulfills his need to find meaning for his life, a loving and supportive partner to share it with, someone to raise children with someday, to grow old alongside him. He's not a man of faith, he is agnostic, and our man is smart and savvy, lives in New York, and has a nice apartment in a great neighborhood. He finds himself content in a place where he can put down roots for generations. He's still close to his parents who live in the same community and looks forward to raising his children in the same community, the one his family have lived in for years. He has everything he's ever wished for and dreamed about, and his future looks rosy. And then, in a single day, our man is wrenched from this life, exiled from all he knew. Eventually, over the course of 4 years, he will not be able to remember yesterday or his address. Nothing will make sense anymore. He will lose the ability to read, and technology will be a big mystery, for he can't remember any of his passwords. And in his words, his world has become a wasteland of hopelessness and fear. Dragged away from the dreams for his future, he will eventually be trapped in chains of amnesia, depression, and suffering. What if you found yourself exiled from the life you thought you were building? What if you started behaving bizarrely, perhaps drunkenly, and you lacked the ability to acknowledge it or fully explain what was going on, even to yourself, let alone to others? And dear heart, what if all this happened to you when you were 28 years old? Our young man is named Dimitri. He could have given up hope, but I get ahead of myself. We'll return to the rest of the story in a moment. How about another story, a 4,000-year-old folktale of a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz? He was a blessed man, led a good life, owned a lot of land, enough for 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen. You get the idea. He was a successful and very rich guy. He was also a man of integrity, some might even say a ruler of the East. Job had a wife and a large family, 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and was called upright by his fellow Hebrews. Some said of the same caliber as Noah and Daniel. Scripture tells us the Lord blessed the work of this man's hands, and Job was said to bless the name of the Lord. And then one day, it too will all be lost. In the words of Frederick Buechner, in a single day he was wiped out. The Sabaeans ran off with his asses and oxen and slaughtered the hired hands. Lightning struck his sheep barn and burned up the whole flock, not to mention the shepherds. The Chaldeans rustled his camels and made short work of the camel drivers. And a hurricane hit with such devastating effect the house where his 7 sons and 3 daughters were having a party that there wasn't enough of them left in the wreckage to identify. Then he came down with leprosy and prayed to die, but he didn't. And all the while he kept asking, why does God let such things happen? His friends came by to try and help cheer him up, telling him that God is just, that God made bad things happen to bad people and good things to good people. So Job must have been a very, very bad person. And then they even gave him examples of his wickedness. So as an aside, this is never a helpful approach to someone who is suffering. Job's response was to tell them to stop talking, that there was wisdom in silence. But they don't listen to him. They just keep on talking. Another friend says, okay, well, maybe God was trying to improve Job's character by testing him. Also not helpful, by the way. But in all fairness, what does one say about God and faith in the midst of such undeserved and extreme suffering as Job's and Dimitri's? which brings us back to the rest of the story. Dimitri Kofinas chronicled his journey through brokenness in an article on Quartz titled, Strong at the Broken Places. You see, he was born with a craniopharyngioma, a tumor located in the base of his brain near the pituitary gland. For years, it didn't grow. Remember when everything in his life seemed stable and predictable? And then all of a sudden, one day, it did. After his diagnosis, he became paranoid about his health, living in panic and disillusionment, trying to appear normal, while inside he was a mess, crying softly in his cubicle at work, hiding in the bathroom where he could fully dissolve into tears, paralyzed by fear. Surgeons would give Dimitri their best guesses, using words like outcome and therapy and risk and undefined. And he writes, certainty only came with surgery, whose outcomes were presented to me in the form of averages and standard deviations, 30% risk of blindness, 40% risk of morbid obesity caused by hypothalamic damage, 100% risk of complete pituitary loss and hormone replacement therapy for life, and the risk of doing nothing, undefined. But then he meets Dr. Greenfield on a sunny Tuesday morning in 2013, and he will schedule intracranial surgery for 13 days hence. 3 days before the surgery, he awakes from a dream. My fear was gone, and I had felt life flooding through my veins for the first time in so long. I had forgotten what it was like to have a future, and tonight I felt normal again. And God, if it wasn't the sweetest feeling in so, so long. Though I no longer remember the substance of that dream, I remember the feeling very well. It was grace. It was grace that came over me, and it carried me through that weekend and into the Monday morning of surgery. Our young agnostic, bathed in grace, found his faith. The surgery was successful, and combined with radiation treatments, Dimitri has been given his life back. I feel so grateful for the life I've been given, he writes, and the choices I was compelled to make. I learned how fleeting life can be. I learned how to have faith. The grace that visited me in that early morning dream remained with me during the final hours before my surgery. My heart was open. I was afraid, but I was not regretful. I had done the most with the time I was given, and I intended to spend what time I had left sharing my love with my family. He speaks of love quite a bit since then, and it appears throughout his memories and now anchors his hope. Job also learned how to have faith. Not the kind of faith that believed making temple sacrifices would appease a God of fury, one who was always on the lookout for sin, some slight wrongdoing, ready to punish us in an instant. Instead, Job came to understand that questioning his assumptions about the nature and justice of God had the power to bring him into a real-time relationship with God. Realistically, being a people of faith means that we will have questions, and we may not always have the answers that we seek. The story of Job is a parable, a folk tale, meant to reveal the nature of God and all God's ambiguities, all of which have the power to teach us, to give us permission to see that when it comes to knowing the nature of God, things are not always as simple as we'd like them to be. It offers no easy answers, and yet one is struck by the fact that through it all, Job had faith. And maybe that's our takeaway. Like Dimitri and Job, may we continue to have courage in the face of many questions. May we speak truth to God in both praise and lamentation. May we wrestle profoundly and honestly with God, knowing all along we are loved. May we not let ourselves off the hook by offering or accepting easy answers and empty platitudes. And to paraphrase Job when he speaks to his friends who are trying to help, may we try to listen more than we speak and find wisdom in companionable silence. And may all God's people say, Amen.